With somebody,
or just a nameless face.
I didn't feel like I was branded on the button when I went to UT. Well, I probably got spoiled with Boston College, it's so small. UT is probably a lot better than mine, it's probably more of mine.
Is that the new stomach mic?
Yeah. Went too low. Is that better? Everybody comfortable?
I'm all ready to do my mom.
All right, Sue, loosen up. Sitting over here like this. There you go. Ole's not feeling well. He called, asked me to do this. And I want to try and talk about something that I've been thinking about. See if we can come to agreement. There's a scripture in Amos 3:3. I'm going to read, go ahead and turn to Amos 3:3 if you like. Don't have to, but I'm going to read it. And it's in the context of the season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, which we talked about last night for those who were there. And Rosh Hashanah, of course, is Judgment Day, which is a beautiful thing. Judgment Day we always think of as, oh my God. But Judgment Day is the day of reckoning. And it's when everything about you that is outside of God is judged and found lacking, wanting, or whatever, and eliminated. And the only thing that remains is...
Is Yom Kippur coming up? Is that Judgment Day? Or is it?
Rosh Hashanah is Judgment. Yeah, and it... Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day and the birth of Christ.
And the Jewish New Year.
And the Jewish New Year, which for us as Christians is the new year, the new beginning. I don't know about anybody else, but I have certainly felt the impact of the new beginning. It was not just a ceremony that we abstractly looked at, but things changed. There's a lot of new things taking place. And the old has passed away. And so in type, it's fulfilled in the believer. As you don't please God unless you believe. You don't see anything from Him unless you believe. I was thinking about charismatics this morning. You can say a lot of things about charismatics, but man, they believe all over the map. They might believe in all kinds of weird, crazy things, but they believe with everything in them. And they do some nutty stuff. But they believe. And things happen. Things do happen. And so, you know, we're of the ilk, so to speak, that we're trying to ferret through to the nut, the kernel, the grain, the essence of the gospel and its purity. And I think sometimes we, you know, maybe we don't believe enough. Who knows? That's a judgment call. But in this season where if Judgment Day took place and you experienced it and it was a real phenomena, then the birth of Christ is a real thing to you. Again, it's not academic. It's not just the letter of the law. It's the Spirit. And He is alive. He is come. He is now. He is in this moment. And that's the first of the triune festivals. The second being Yom Kippur. Having experienced judgment and the birth of Christ in you, now in these days, we're in the days of repentance. And this is what Ole had asked that we focus on and take to heart these, the readings. I read one of them last night when Isaiah... where it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come and drink. If you have any hunger or thirst whatsoever for God, this is that time." And in conjunction with that thirst is repentance. Because God does not share His glory, His Son, His life, His being, with you or with flesh, but He shares with those who have heard, seen, and gleefully turn and repent of themselves. And that's all it is. You don't repent and then try and now figure out what it's going to be. You just repent. And about 2 seconds later, repent again. Because it's like the bucket of water you put your hand in. You take your hand out and self tries to fill up the void. But you resist that quickly. And that's why Ole used to say he would repent 1,000 times a day. And I thought, well, that's just talk. You know, and then later on I realized, no, that's true. It takes about 1,000 times a day because self is always at the next corner trying to find its way into this kingdom. But there's no room for self. So these are the days of repentance. One of the scriptures I wanted to read that I hope ties in for everybody like it did for me, it says, in Amos 3, it says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That was spoken last week, and those words really struck me because I always heard that in relation to, well, can I walk with Wade or Harry or John or anybody unless we're in agreement? And then I had a little list of what it means to be in agreement on. But the way it hit me is, can two walk together, meaning you and God, unless you're in agreement? You can't walk with him unless you're in agreement with him. He doesn't walk any other way. And so what does it mean to be in agreement with God? You have to believe what he says about you, about him, about life, and not what you say. So to be in agreement with him, you have to abandon your own ways, your own thinking, your own thoughts, because his ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than your ways. You cannot comprehend what he is about. We don't understand. So the onus is on us in abandonment to wait and see and let him do what he does. Let him live his life through you. And in the agreement, I was trying to come up with a... I didn't study this very long because I just heard this morning I was going to do this, but... The first thing in agreement with God is to see that you reckon yourself dead in Christ. Now, you can't do anything more than just agree with that because you can't figure out what that means unless somebody has the answer and they want to speak up what it means to be dead in Christ. I don't have answers to that. All I know is I agree with it. And God will then do whatever he does, because about the best I can do is, yeah, I believe that's true. Don't really know what it all means, but I know it's true. And I've been baptized to confirm outwardly and inwardly that I do believe that. So that I've taken care of that as best I know how. So I agree that I am dead in him and that I no longer live, but that it's he that lives in me. I agree with that, and I love that. And then I agree with I live by the faith of Christ, not my own faith. I didn't agree with that for a long time. Long time I thought my faith was going to be mixed with God's faith and we were going to do this thing together. And it took a while, but I got over that. And the day I got over that was like a birthday. You know, because I don't want to be exercising my faith to walk in God's kingdom. Because I've heard and I've read and I've understood and I've been preached to that that's not what it is, and I finally saw it. Didn't see it right away, but I saw it. And I did rejoice. And I believe, and I agree with God, that he is my peace. And if I'm not in peace or in joy, then I know why. Because I've got some trip that I'm engaging and I'm all tripped out about it. I'm not in joy. I'm not in peace. I'm in judgment, and I'm off the mercy seat. because I'm looking at other people or I'm judging my own behavior, and they come up lacking, and so do I. And until I get back into agreement with God as to whose life this is, I will suffer that, the penalty of that. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's brutal. So I can't walk with God in that place because he won't walk with me. But when I repent because I see, I'm in peace. Not because of something I did, but because of something that he is. And he is my peace. He is my joy. He is love. And he can express that through me, but only in my abandonment. And I'm amazed when I hear the words that I say that of agreement with things that I've heard for 30 years, because a lot of times I don't know that I really believe until I speak. And then after I say what I say, I look at what I've said and say, I really do believe that. That's not just words that I've memorized. Those are the fabric of my life in him. And I think that is why it's important that you not just listen to what's said in our meetings and our things, but you speak whatever you speak. You prophesy. And if you don't believe in your prophesying, great. There it is. You've said it. You realize it. It's crap. You repent. You say, I don't believe that. And you can turn. But if you're a silent person who never speaks, and I'm not speaking to you, John, because I know you speak a lot, just not in the meetings. Was that all right to say that? John. No, I didn't want to make a hit unwarranted there. No, I know John speaks a lot. But when you speak, you hear what you say. And if it's there right in front of you. And you might be speaking to kiss somebody's ass or something, you know, because that's what you do, you know. And if you see it, you go, damn, look at me. I'm an ass kisser.
That's just random neurons firing and that shit comes out.
I'm just doing exactly what I'm talking about. I'm just speaking. Now I heard it and there it is. I got to deal with it, don't I?
Where's Judy?
Where's Judy when you need her? Well, I thought that might communicate, Eric.
Got a reaction.
Well, you are kind of the butt of the joke.
Yeah. But there it is, you know, without prophesying, without saying it, whatever it is. And that's the thing. You always kind of judge what you're going to say before you say it. And I was warned last night that I should judge a little more what I say. But the older you get, the less that happens. Judy warned me. She says she warned me that if I don't start watching what I say, she's not going places with me.
She's afraid you're going to get arrested.
When we go out together at night, I usually make contact with a half a dozen people, and she says, would you stop that? She says, you don't have to talk to everybody you see, you know? I said, okay. She says, I don't want to be drug into all these conversations you have with people. So I'm circumcising myself in that department when she's around. So. But this idea of walking in agreement with him will cause agreement to take place with other believers. And that's where it starts. It doesn't start with other believers. It starts with being in agreement with God. Then fellowship is possible. Because fellowship can only take place through fellowship when you're in worship with God or in fellowship with God, because anything less than that's idolatry. I mean, you can have fellowship over idols, and there's thousands of idols around to talk to other people about, but that's not true fellowship, and it only lasts for about the moment it's happening, and then it's death, because there's nothing there. So, the days of repentance. These are part of how hopefully it sets with you. There needs to be something during this time that touches you in a way that the repentance is not, again, just another lesson that Trinity Foundation is talking about, the guys who speak about it, but that it touches you in a way that it gives you that hunger for God so that you desire it greatly and you pray for it. I mean, because God is the one who gives you repentance. But believe me, He delights in your repentance. I believe anyone who prays for that will be amazed to see what God provides. He'll give you plenty of places of repentance. And it'd be repentance with joy, because the alternative is you're just more of you, more of yourself, more of your stuff, as opposed to the everlasting, eternal, unending, unfathomable kingdom of God, which there's no limits to what He's about. There's tremendous limits to what you're about. So I want to read just a little bit. Anybody have any comments? Anybody agree? Isaiah. I'm going to read a little bit of that, what we read last night.
Well, I have a thought. As you were saying that, it occurred to me that repentance is like trying to get through a very small door with a whole bunch of stuff loaded on your back. You can't do it. You've got to take off the stuff that's loaded on your back to get that hole in the wall. And I don't know what that is. That's a thing about the rich man or something.
Yeah.
But repentance means taking off and putting down on the ground and turning around and walking away from mourning, anger, fear, emulation, strife, all the bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the end of the bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful gift to be able to leave that crap in a pile and walk away. Instead, I desperately cling to anger, frustration, worry, whatever. Oh, I gotta take care of, this makes me something. I got to deal with this.
Right.
As opposed to just lift your hands up and walk away.
And when you realize that,
then you think, holy crap.
Well, you realize what you're feeding on.
Yeah.
You know, you get your life from anger. You get your life from judgment. You get your life from gossip.
The whole thing about everything. Dust you'll eat all the days.
Right.
Dust.
Right.
Must sound great right next to the mic.
I'll bet that did. Get everybody.
Devil will tell us. That's the dust.
Yeah. Crawling around on your belly. And that's your, being led by your appetites. And we all do it. There's nobody in here because you're in here that's not guilty. You're in here because you are guilty. That is what you do.
Well, take an inventory. I mean, if you've got... You're carrying, 3 minutes ago, I was sitting here carrying that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just pissed off. And then worried about being pissed off and listening to what you were saying and saying, oh, I can't, there's no way I can agree with God because I'm pissed off. And I'm worried.
Yeah.
and this endless cycle of, I shouldn't do that.
Right.
Oh, why am I doing that? Now I'm really mad that I'm doing that.
And then how do you get out of that? What happened? Where was the transaction?
I don't know. At some point,
God did it.
And it was like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's why I say this. There's,
it's a gift, really.
It is a gift. That's the point. We can't even do it. You can hear these words and you can say, yeah, that's a good idea. If I repent, then I'll be better. That's what you say, But the point is, the point is, all you can do is go, yes, God. And then it's a gift. He will give you repentance. And then that's the repentance you want. You don't want the kind that you can work up out of the Adamic nature of the soul in it.
That just makes the load heavier. That's the whole thing about works. It's a debt.
Yeah.
The repentance becomes more debt that you
right.
can't pay, that you get angry about, worried about.
What an oxymoron, that repentance becomes a debt.
If it's a work, it's a debt.
It becomes a work, yeah. So we don't want to be doing the repentance of the flesh. Because the flesh will repent when it thinks it's going to get punished. They'll go, oh, geez, that happens in every courtroom and jail all over town. You know, if I repent in the right way, then I'll get out of this. True repentance leaves you in a place where you're content with whatever state you find yourself. In fact, your circumstances may be exactly the same before and after, but in repentance, you're in God's hand. Out of it, you're subject to the, you know, the cause and effect. And many times, that's a dangerous, nasty place. So it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come you to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So the money there is not dollar bills. The money there is you spend yourself. You spend your substance, your sustenance, who you are, for something that doesn't satisfy. And how do you? What is the spending here? The spending is what I was talking about earlier, where you're seeking. You only spend yourself to gain something for yourself. You are the spender. And whatever it is, it's you spending you, as opposed to you waiting on God and let him be the spender. He will spend through your life. He will cause things to happen. He is the cause. So that's the joy of waiting on God. It's the pain in the flesh, because the flesh does not want to wait. And it's interesting, our particular culture and society is the antithesis of waiting. And even if we do wait, we'll wait a couple hours, and then if we're not satisfied, then we go, well, God wasn't here, and I guess that maybe I was offbeat. And then we go about satisfying ourselves. But this is a non-waiting culture and society that we live in. So one of the ways that Ole used to describe this time was that the bride is in the final stages of preparation, and now it's the subtleties of the little eyeshadow and the little subtle lipstick or something. You know, it's real subtle things that you don't that are harder to see. It used to be more black and white, but as a type, that's what it feels like in our culture. That, you know, there's every subtle thing coming at you, trying to pull you away from the focus and from the narrow way that's the path. And being
what you spend is your inheritance.
Yeah. Everything that God
you give up.
Yeah.
You know,
everything he has done.
Eternal life. You give up joy, peace, long suffering, patience, kindness, you give it all up for something.
Yeah.
In
for
time
a
and space.
Thing in time for a shiny
trade
object.
Your inheritance for a bowl of beans.
Or a sweet thought. Well, these are the days of repentance. Anybody else? Listen to yourselves speak today. Open your mouths. Say whatever's there. Don't worry about it. Just break the dam. I always like that analogy too. When the dam breaks, first thing that comes out is a lot of garbage and old cows and skeletons and all kinds of crap comes out when the dam breaks. Stuff that's been packed up against the walls. But when they break and they get flushed, you know, pure water is a result at some, you know, afterwards. But believe me, at first it'll sound pretty bad when you start speaking unabashedly. But you do it with this in mind. You don't do it just so you can continually satisfy your own ego. You do this in prophecy because of your love of God.
It's also how you find out what a jerk you are.
That's right. And you are jerks, every one of you. Jerks.
Speak for yourself.
I was. Well, last and amen.
Thank you, Father, that I'm not like that jerk over there.
Yeah.
I'm not it's quite a big a jerk.
Yeah. I used to be a jerk like him, but hey. So. All right, we're doing Yom Kippur this weekend. And all of this leads up to Day of Atonement. And that Day of Atonement is it's the day, we celebrate the day, but the day is eternal. And in eternity, we see the fulfillment of the day in that we are one with each other and we're one with God. But that's only true because of Him and what He has done and His life. And I find no problem whatsoever believing that. That is just absolute. Because I believe totally in what Christ has done in His finished work. I don't understand it all, but I know as I am given apprehension, it just fleshes out the reality. But I've seen enough and I've heard enough. I've examined the Lamb. You know, I've been through Passover. So there's no question about who He is and where my life is. So now what it looks like is up to God. And that's fine with me too, because once again, I cannot, you know, at my best, I couldn't do anything that would be satisfactory. Okay? Get you through the morning. Thank you, big guy. We do pray for Ole.
And Mary Darden.
And Mary, yeah. Well, at least they weren't killed.